판타야 마디라발라 하리다스 바르요 야드라모 크리슈나 차라나스 파라샤 프라모다 마남 타노티 사하고 가나요 스타요르얏 하니 아수야 바샤칸다라 칸다무라에 Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Purport. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 18, text 34. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the opulence of Govardhan Hill as follows. Paniya refers to the fragrant cool water from the Govardhan waterfalls, which Krishna and Balaram drink and use to wash their feet and mouths. Govardhan also offers other beverages, such as honey, mango juice, and pilu juice. Suyavas indicates durva grass, used to make the religious offering of argya. Govardhan also has grass that is fragrant, soft, and conducive to the strong growth of cows and increased production of milk. Thus, this grass is used for feeding the transcendental herds. Kandara refers to the caves where Krishna Balaram and their friends play, sit, and lie down. These caves give pleasure when the weather is too hot or too cold, or when it is raining. Govardhan also features soft roots for eating, jewels for ornamenting the body, flat places for sitting, and lamps and mirrors in the form of smooth stones, glistening water, and other natural substances. It is my great pleasure and fortune to be amongst all of you once again here in New Vrindavan. I welcome all devotees, although I just came myself. Today, we are celebrating the auspicious festival of Sri Govardhan Puja. I was asked to speak on this particular subject this morning with your permission. The verse that we are reading from the 10th canto, 21st chapter, number 18, is very greatly celebrated and worshipped by all of our beloved acharyas. Here, Govardhan Hill is declared to be Haridas Bharya, the best of all devotees. According to our acharyas, this verse is spoken by Srimati Radharani, who is the goddess, the source, the origin of all love. There is no greater authority in devotion than herself. Herein, she is glorifying Govardhan Hill as the best. Why? What are the reasons that Govardhan is considered Haridas Varna? This is very important for us to understand. Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book explains that Govardhan Hill is very expert at pleasing those who are dear to Krishna. Thus, Sri Govardhan knows how to please the heart of the Lord by being the servant of the servant of the servant. Govardhan Hill, entire body is exclusively dedicated to the pleasure of Krishna Balaram and all of his devotees. Govardhan Hill has many waterfalls and lakes. These waterfalls and lakes, the water is very warm in the winter and very cool in the summer. Very sweet fragrance, ambrosial nectarine fragrance emanating from this water. And the taste is like nectar. When the cowherd boys, the calves, the cows, the bulls drink this water, not only are they fully satisfied by the taste of the water, but it is impossible for them to ever catch any type of disease or be in ill health because the water is so very, very nutritious. And in the summer season, the water creates a mist which cools all of the devotees of the Lord. In the grass, Govardhan Hill provides wonderful durva grass for sitting places for the cowherd boys, for the yajñas of the Brahmins, but especially offers grass that is so very, very pleasing to cows. The grass is so soft that it never cuts the mouth of cows. It just feels so very, very nice in the cow's mouth. And it is so sweet, so very, very delicious that the cows just cannot stop eating it. And this grass is also very, very fragrant. Literally, it intoxicates the minds of the cows. And it creates such very, very, very good milk. It is Padmaganda. When the cows take this grass from Govardhan, it produces sweet, fragrant milk like lotus flowers, with the fragrance of lotus flowers. And also by the cows eating this grass, the cows can never fall sick. Also, Govardhan Hill offers rocks and stones. These rocks and stones, when the cowherd boys or the cows or the calves or Krishna Balaram step on it, immediately the stone becomes as soft as butter. Very cool in the summer, very warm in the winter. Very, very nice sitting places. Govardhan also provides wonderful caves. In those caves, there are jeweled thrones, beautiful jeweled mirrors, all sorts of facilities. They are also warm in the winter and cool in the summer. These caves provide natural light from the jewels that are ornamenting the walls. When Radha Krishna, whether the gopis or Krishna, or the gopas and Krishna go into these caves, they find very, very quiet privacy with all the facilities for them to rest and to be happy. Also, Govardhan provides beautiful fruits, flowers, vegetables. All of the trees are Kalpa Vriksha trees. One fruit from any one of the trees on Govardhan is so sweet, so fulfilling, that it can completely fulfill all one's desires and invigorate one
with tremendous amount of energy and devotion. In this way, Govardhan Hill is being praised for being the servant of the servant of the servant of all Lord Krishna's devotees. Even the calves, even the cows, everyone gains the fulfillment of all of their desires from Sri Giriraj. Therefore, since time immemorial, Govardhan Hill is worshipped by devotees. In fact, on this very day today, there will be hundreds and thousands of people doing the parikrama or circumambulation of Sri Giriraj Govardhan. The reason for that is that the tradition was originally inaugurated by Lord Sri Krishna himself. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Govardhan Hill, the first stone of Govardhan that he saw, he entered into a state of divine ecstasy. He embraced that stone and was literally bathing it with profuse, incessant tears of love from his eyes. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri, he was given a stone by one Mukundananda Saraswati, a stone from Govardhan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered that stone to be the body of Krishna, and he kept it around his neck for about 3 years. It was constantly moistened by the tears of Lord Chaitanya's love. Sometimes he would put it to his heart. Sometimes when he was in ecstatic trance of bhakti, he would put it to his forehead or to his eyes. And ultimately, out of his very, very great love for the Prayojana Acharya, the Acharya of the highest state of love of God in our sampradaya, Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya presented to him that Govardhan Shrima. Lord Chaitanya considered Govardhan Hill to be the body of Krishna. Therefore, he would not put a single footstep on the top of Govardhan Hill. He would not step on a rock from Govardhan. That was his respect. There is a story in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about the deity of Gopal, Madhavendra Puri's deity, who was installed on top of Govardhan Hill. Lord Chaitanya was so very, very eager to see that deity, to worship that deity. But he did not have the heart to put his feet on the hill, so he could not go there. But Gopal was very much eager to reciprocate with the love of Lord Chaitanya. So he made a plot. One day, some villagers came and said, "Turkish soldiers are about to attack. They're going to destroy the deity and kill all of us. We must hide the deity and go somewhere else." So they secretly took the deity to a Ganthuli village below Govardhan Hill. And Lord Chaitanya went there and had very wonderful darshan, dancing and chanting. And after some days, they realized there were no Turkish soldiers at all. It was just a rumor. It was gossip. So they had a procession with Gopal back, and Lord Chaitanya was dancing and singing in front of the procession. But as soon as they came to Giriraj, Lord Chaitanya offered his obeisances, would not put his feet on the hill. And many of our great acharyas throughout history have worshipped even a single pebble of Govardhan with pure love and devotion, understanding it as a self-manifest deity of Sri Krishna. And our own beloved Srila Prabhupada, in his last days in this world, it was his burning, longing desire, although his body was so very, very emaciated, due to ill health. He was in the last days in the planet. He wanted to do parikrama of Govardhana. The devotee said, but Prabhupada, you can't even walk. He said, then you take me on bullock. And the Kaviraj, Ayurvedic doctor, said, if he goes even a few feet on bullock, he will certainly leave his body. It's too harsh. His body cannot bear. But Prabhupada said, what better way of leaving is there than leaving body, worshipping Govardhana? Ultimately, the disciples love. They convinced him, please do not do this. And Prabhupada looked at his dear godbrother Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, because there was a big argument. There was actually a major debate. Some devotees wanted to take him, and others said, we'll murder him if we take him. We cannot take him. They were crying, Prabhupada, please don't go. Don't make us take you. And Prabhupada looked at his godbrother and said, see how much they love me. Like Prabhupada did teach us in this very wonderful lesson how worshipable Govardhan Hill is to the devotees. How is Govardhan Hill not different than Krishna? That is revealed in the story that pertains to today's wonderful festival. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam with many wonderful commentaries by the great self-realized acharyas. It begins in this month of Kartik. Every year, Nanda Maharaj and the Brijbasis would perform Indra Puja. The reason is because they were a Vaishya community. They took care of agriculture and cows. And in order for one to prosper, one is dependent on rains. Anad bhavanti bhutani parajanyana na shambhava. Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita that all living beings subsist on food grains, and grains are born of rains. And rains come as a result of performing sacrifice. So following this very ancient Vedic tradition, they would perform a very, very elaborate puja once a year for Indra to please him so that he will shower very, very healthy rains upon all of Vrindavan. So Krishna at that time was about 7 years old. And he saw Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys and the gopis making all these very, very elaborate arrangements. He approached Nanda Maharaj. He said, oh, my dear father, please tell me, what are you doing? What kind of sacrifice is it that you are performing? Who is it that you want to please? And for what purpose? Please tell me everything in great detail about this. If you think that it is too secret for me to know, because I'm a relative, there should be no secrets amongst relatives. So you should tell me everything. So Nanda Maharaj explained that we are dependent on rains because we take care of cows, and Indra supplies the rains. So this is a tradition that has been performed by our forefathers for many, many generations, that once a year we honor Indra because he is the Lord of the rains. Krishna, who was very talkative that day, replied to Nanda Maharaj, that my dear father, we don't depend on Indra. He spoke what is called the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Krishna explained that one gets the reactions of one's karmic activities. Whatever actions we perform, there is an equal corresponding reaction. If we perform pious deeds, then we will get good results. If we perform sinful deeds, then we will get bad results. And as far as Indra and the other demigods,
All they do is just respond according to our karmic conditions. If our karma is to get rain, then Indra has to give rain. So we don't have to please Indra. We don't have to please any of these demigods. All we have to do is do our work properly, with the proper consciousness. After all, in the monsoon season, nobody even wants rains then. In fact, people suffer due to the rains, but the rains keep pouring and pouring and pouring. Nobody's doing yajnas for those rains. And not only is the rain falling here, but it's also falling in the ocean. There's more rain even falling in the ocean. The ocean doesn't need rain. The ocean's not performing yajna to King Indra. So, my dear father, all we have to do is perform our duties with the proper consciousness, and the demigods have to give us whatever we want. We should reject this demigod worship. In fact, according to one's varna and ashram, one must perform his duty properly. And we are Vaishyas. Vaishyas sometimes are bankers, sometimes they are engaged in trade, agriculture, or cow protection. We are especially involved in cow protection. As far as our immediate needs, the grass and all the needs of the cows are being supplied by Govardhan Hill. So today, we should worship Govardhan Hill. Whatever arrangements you have with all paraphernalia for Indra, let us use it to worship Govardhan Hill. Nanda Maharaj said, well, my dear child, let us first worship Indra, and then we'll all do another puja for Govardhan. Krishna said, why should we waste time in this way? Forget Indra. Let us worship Govardhan Hill now, and I'll tell you how to do it. He explained very nicely. He said we should begin with Anakuta. We should make mountains and mountains and mountains of nice offerings of bhoga. There should be sweet rice and laddus and gulab jamuns, and there should be, Prabhupada explains, halava and samosas and puris and various mountains of rice, and there should be dal and pakoras and all the very, very, very nice preparations. We should make mountains and mountains of these. We should make one big mountain and fill it with all different kinds of food. Best food. Should have many, many Brahmins cooking chapatis, and everything should be covered with very, very pure cow's ghee. And after offering this to Sri Giriraj, then we should feed the Brahmins. After the Brahmins are fed, we should feed everyone. Everyone should eat to their full satisfaction. Even the beggars, even the dogs should be fully satisfied with Govardhan's feast of prasad. After this wonderful feast, we should perform parikrama of circumambulating Govardhan Hill to honor him. Now, Nanda Maharaj, his life, his soul, his everything was simply to please Krishna. So whatever decision he made would always be whatever would make Krishna happy. So he accepted. So they made grand, elaborate arrangements for this Govardhan Puja. They made mountains and kuns of wonderful, wonderful bhoga. And they offered it to Govardhan. At that time, Krishna wanted to establish how Govardhan Hill is non-different from himself. So he actually went to the top of Govardhan, and he assumed the huge form of Govardhan. On top of the hill, Krishna assumed a form as big as the hill itself. And simultaneously, Krishna maintained his original form and bowed down to this
incredible form of Giriraj, the king of mountains. And as Krishna bowed down, everyone bowed down. And Krishna told Dhanda Maharaj and the cowherd man, just see how Giriraj has assumed such a form. Look at the size of his mouth. His mouth can devour all these offerings, and look at the size of his arms. They can accept all of these offerings. And look at the beautiful jewels decorating his body. At that time, Sri Giriraj, within a matter of moments, with his long arms, put all the boga in his mouth and devoured it. It was what hundreds and thousands of people could eat. He ate it within seconds. And then this huge mountain began to roar, I want more, I want more. Anior, Anior, bring me more. But there wasn't anything left. Whatever there was in the entire Braj Bhumi, all those ingredients were used for that feast. But he was calling out, Anior, Anior, whatever they could bring, he just immediately devoured it. Anior, bring me more. And finally, one of the Brijabasis offered him a tulsi leaf. And he said, now I am satisfied. Then miraculously, within a moment, all the mountains and lakes of food manifested themselves again, just as before he had eaten it all. Then, according to Krishna's wonderful instructions, everyone was fed sumptuously. In fact, Krishna explained, if anybody doesn't follow my instructions for worshipping Govardhan Hill, what will be their destiny? Who will say?
They'll be killed by the snakes on the hill.
They will be bitten by the snakes of Govardhan Hill. So Krishna added a nice incentive for the Vaishnavas to take this festival very seriously. After they fed all the Brahmins and all the gopis and all the gopas and all the animals, then they performed their circumambulation of Govardhan Hill, just according to Krishna's prescription. It was wonderful. They had the Brahmins chanting mantras, and then they had gopas who were guarding with various weapons to guard from any trespassers. And then they had dancers, so many hundreds and hundreds of dancers and singers. It's a wonderful festival. And the gopas were playing with Krishna, and the gopis were on their ox carts, bullock. Everyone was dressed in their best possible clothes. And everyone was laughing, everyone was singing, everyone was simply immersed in ecstatic bliss, celebrating this Govardhan Puja according to Krishna's arrangement. It was the happiest of all happy days, except for one person. And that was Indra. Indra was outraged. How dare they neglect my annual puja? He was severely offended. He started discussing with his ministers, these fools, these ignorant cowherd men. I have been supplying their rain for generations and generations, and now because they're listening to this talkative little boy, Krishna, they have rejected me to worship a mountain? I will teach them a good lesson. I will destroy all of them with their entire village of Braja. Now when Indra wants to destroy, he has very, very good facilities. He called the Samvartaka clouds. Now, these Sambhartaka clouds are not like any cloud you have seen. These are exclusively reserved for pralaya, or for universal destruction. These clouds pour such rains that the entire surface, the earth, becomes nothing but an ocean. And then the whole earth becomes submerged in a universal ocean. All in a matter of minutes or days. That is the power of Sambhartaka clouds. So he called them and told them, I want you to lash out all of your wrath on the town of Vrindavan. I want you to destroy everything and everyone there. Now, for the Sambhartaka clouds, this was a very easy thing. They were actually afraid, because they didn't really know who this Krishna was. But at the same time, one little village, you know, their tradition is to completely destroy an entire universe. One little village? This will be an easy thing. So they began to assemble. How they assembled? It's not that they just came over Vrindavan. These clouds filled the entire sky from the lower planets to the upper planets. From Rasatala Loka all the way to Swarga Loka was filled with black clouds, so dense that nobody could practically see anything. And all the quantity of immense rain was aimed toward this little village called Vrindavan. Thunder, very, very deep rolling thunder began to resound. Lightning. It became very high winds began to blow. It was freezing cold. And then the rains. Not only was there was rains, but there was hail and ice. It began to rain so greatly that there wasn't coming in drops. It was falling in pillars. When the innocent cows of Vrindavan felt this rain coming upon them, their only concern was protecting their calves. They were just out in the pasture grounds. And the cows, they sheltered their calf under the fleshy neck that hangs from their neck. In America, they don't have cows like this. But in India, the cows have very nice necks, very beautiful. And they covered their calves' faces with that and were crying and weeping, seeing the anxiety of their little calves. And the bulls, this massive rain was falling against their horns and bouncing off their horns onto the humps on their back. And on their humps of the back, the rain was just like crushed into powder. It cascaded all over their body like a shower. And seeing the lightning and the torrents of rain and the thunder, the bulls with red eyes just looked at the sky and began to roar in anger. Meanwhile, the gopas and the gopis, they saw that all the high places and low places of Vrindavan were becoming filled with water. It was only a matter of minutes till everything would be destroyed. So in a very helpless condition, the cowherd men, with the cows in front, they approached the son of Nanda, Sri Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. They prayed, Krishna, you are very, very great. Now you have incited Indra's wrath. We are in a helpless condition. Look at your cows and calves. They're suffering. They're trembling. Please save them and save us too.
we remember how you very, very effortlessly ate an entire forest fire. So certainly you can also do something to stop this rain. Please save us. We are completely taking shelter at your lotus feet. We have no other shelter than you. They only considered Krishna to be their child, their friend, their lover. But when great emergencies came in this way, they understood that Krishna was their only shelter. They understood that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even though understanding that, still, their love for him as a friend, as a parent, or as a lover, ultimately predominated. So Lord Sri Krishna walked into the field. And to everyone's very, very great astonishment, Sri Krishna told everyone that after eating a big feast, the trouble of hunger becomes utterly insignificant. Similarly, this Indra and this rainstorm is utterly insignificant. You shouldn't even give it a thought. See what I will do. Then the Lord lifted the Govardhanya. The sound as Govardhan was being lifted from the ground was tumultuous. It is explained that the sound was like many, many little children in a cave yelling at the same time. And if you're in the cave, it's very resounding. That sound echoed throughout the entire 14 worlds. Krishna, Govardhan Hill, just very slowly was lifting as Krishna raised it with his left hand. Govardhan Hill in those days was so big that the peaks of Govardhan Hill was piercing and scattering the Samvartaka clouds. They were actually becoming bewildered. And the lions that were on top of Govardhan, they thought that the clouds, Samvartaka, were big elephants, and they were attacking them and biting them and scratching them. And Samvartaka clouds has never had to deal with these problems before. As Krishna was lifting the hill, flowers were falling from all the trees just to celebrate Krishna as Sri Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Krishna called all the gopas and gopis of Braj. He said, "Oh mother, oh father, oh friends, everyone, please come. Govardhan Hill has now become our umbrella. There is no danger." Actually, Giriraj is so merciful that because we worshipped him so nicely and he's pleased by our Govardhan Puja, he's become so light that even a little child like me can effortlessly lift him up. So Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, and as he was standing there in a beautiful threefold bending form, raising the vast mountain of Govardhan with the little finger of his left hand, he lovingly gazed upon all the Brijbasis. It was the ultimate experience of happiness for all the residents of Vrindavan. Unblinkingly, everyone, the gopis, the gopas, the cows, the calves, they all simply gazed at Krishna. And Krishna bestowed such a generous glance upon each and every one of them that all the residents of Vrindavan were thinking that Krishna's only looking at me. He was perfectly satisfying all the individual desires of each one of his devotees. The gopis, it is explained that their eyes were like those of the Chakora bird. The Chakora bird is always looking at the moon, bathing and drinking the shine of the moon. In the same way, the devotees of Vrindavan were simply drinking in the nectarine, moon-like glance of Lord Sri Krishna. Yashoda Mai, she became very much distressed to see Krishna in this condition. She began to reveal her heart out loud, that Krishna's hand is softer than butter, and Govardhan Hill is very, very hard. That she started to pray to Giriraj, "Oh Govardhan, please, please become very soft, so my dear son's hands are not bruised. And please become very light, so that there's no weight on him. And please grant me the benediction that as he's holding you up, he will feel no distress whatsoever." Hearing this, Krishna's cowherd friend, Madhu Mangal, who's also known as Batu, he responded to Yashoda Mai. He said, "Krishna is in no distress. Indra, that rascal, he sent all these rains to destroy us all, and Krishna's protecting us. But while he's protecting us, we're all together. We're all together, just gazing upon Krishna's beautiful form, and Krishna's gazing upon us. This is the sweetest of all sweet experiences." Yashoda Mai said, "No. How could you say that lifting a big, heavy burden could be something sweet? Look at my child, Gopal. He's perspiring. And his beautiful lotus-like face is withering up due to his straining. How could a mother possibly tolerate seeing her son in this condition?" Krishna talked to Yashoda. He said, "Actually, mother, this is very fun. I'm having very good fun. I'm not straining at all. Giriraj is so merciful that he's actually floating. I'm not even holding him up. He's just floating in the air." And Yashoda Mai, she said, "I will not believe you unless Giriraj floats off of your finger and moves around in the sky. Then only will I believe you." Madhu Mangal, he said, "Mata, Yashoda," he said, "actually, it's not Krishna holding up Govardhan. I am a Brahmin. I chanted proper mantras. It is right. It is my Brahminical powers that is holding up Govardhan." Yashoda Mai became very upset. She said, "You impudent Brahmin, I'm suffering like anything seeing my child in this situation, and you're telling jokes and laughing?" Nanda Maharaj said, "Yashoda Mai, what Madhu Mangal is saying is correct. Because Krishna is now holding Govardhan Hill, it's very difficult, and he's being encouraged by his friend. And besides that, look at Krishna smiling. He's appreciating everything Madhu Mangal says. So do not scold him." All the devotees were gazing upon Krishna. This was the one time they all transgressed all types of etiquette. Everyone loudly was discussing the beauty of Krishna. Even the gopis, Braj gopis, were at that time at a stage of their life where they were exhibiting their purvaraga. They never openly discussed in public their love for Krishna's transcendental beauty and qualities. But under Govardhan Hill, everyone became so very, very filled with ecstatic happiness. Everyone was praising Krishna's beauty together. Krishna held Govardhan Hill with one hand. With his other hand, he began to play his flute. Very, very sweet song. Gopal said, Krishna, don't play your flute. Because your flute song is so sweet that Govardhan Hill will become ecstatic and fall off your hand, and then we will all be destroyed. Your flute has the power to destroy everything. Upon hearing the sweet song of your flute, mountains melt into rivers, and rivers become solid like stone. Then one of the gopas, he began to pray to Govardhan, may Giriraj be patient under this circumstance. Because if Govardhan Hill melts into a river due to ecstasy, then he will destroy all of us immediately. But actually, Govardhan Hill is a great soul. And great souls are able to remain composed even in very, very difficult situations. So don't worry about anything. Let us all just enjoy the sweet sound of Krishna's flute. Let us be happy. Although Indra is sending universally destructive calamities, we are all completely blissful and happy seeing the beautiful form of Shyamasundara holding Giriraj. One Brijavasi spoke to Srimati Radharani, said, O Radhika, please be very careful. Do not raise your eyebrow. Because if Krishna sees you raise your eyebrow, then he may lose his composure and tremble and drop Govardhan Hill. One of the gopis expressed that in one hand Krishna is holding Govardhan, in the other hand he is playing upon his flute, and with his eyes he is gazing upon each and every one of us and shaking his head, completely fulfilling everyone's innermost heart's desires. One gopi remarked that everyone is gazing at Krishna, but I can see that Krishna is only gazing at his beloved Srimati Radharani. And when Radharani heard this, she covered her head with a veil. And then she smiled at Krishna and glanced at him. This beaming smile bathed him in ecstasy. And he began to tremble. And as he was trembling, the hill was moving. And the cowherd boys, and the cowherd men, they all jumped under the hill and picked up sticks. And they were holding the hill up with the sticks, thinking it was about to fall. And Madhu Mangal said, dear cowherd men, what are you wasting your time holding sticks? My friend Krishna is the younger brother of Balaram. He has unlimited strength. There is nothing to fear. Krishna, his face was like a blue lotus. His teeth, were, as he smiled, were beaming like the moonlight as he attracted everyone's heart. Krishna told all the Brijavasis, I am not tired in the least. But Yashoda Maya was in great anxiety. She said, my dear son, much of the day has passed and you have not eaten anything. You must be afflicted by hunger. Look, your belly is caved in. Your belt is falling lower. Besides that, unless you eat, the cows refuse to eat anything, although there's so much wonderful green grass all around. As long as you're fasting, the cows will not eat, even Balaram will not eat, even your friends will not eat. I have brought for you and for all of your cowherd friends, I have brought very soft cakes covered with thick cream. Please, put down your flute so I can put it in your mouth with my hand. When Madhu Mangal heard that, he said, Krishna, what Yashoda Maya is saying is correct. She is your mother. You cannot disrespect the will of your mother. And besides that, I'm very hungry also. So Krishna was very, he smiled. He said, I am not the least bit tired or hungry, but just to not disrespect my seniors, you may place the cakes in my hand with your mouth, I mean, in my mouth with your hand. So Yashoda Mai was feeding Krishna as he lowered his flute. Meanwhile, Indra, he was just speeding back and forth, up and down throughout the sky, just throwing thunderbolts, trying to check out what's happening here. There were so many thunderbolts, they were just crisscrossing and thunder crashing. It was tumultuous. And everything was aimed at this hill. Indra was astonished. He looked upon Govardhan Hill, and the deers, the birds, all the other animals, they were just happily wandering around Govardhan Hill, not even the slightest bit fazed, and they were on the top of the hill. And not even a single drop of water came under the hill to touch the devotees underneath. Indra was outraged. He was inciting the Samvartaka clouds, go harder, destroy. And the Samvartaka clouds, they were so angry that they, with all of their powers, they were creating hurricanes, tornadoes, cyclones, everything possible to somehow or other blow Govardhan Hill off Krishna's finger. And Krishna stood there effortlessly as Giriraj balanced upon his finger. They were smashing Govardhan with thunderbolts. Columns and columns of torrential rain, massive hurricane winds. And meanwhile, Govardhan was feeling nothing but bliss. Why? Parandraswani Vartat. Because he was simply feeling the little tip of the little finger of Krishna's left hand underneath him. And his body was just, his entire body was just shivering in ecstasy to feel Krishna's finger on him. And he was constantly feeling the effulgent rays of Krishna's smile. Therefore, Govardhan Hill, all the trees, all the grass, all the rocks, all the animals on top of the hill were utterly unaffected. They were surcharged with Krishna's loving mercy. Outside, there was black, thick clouds completely consuming the entire sky. And inside, under the hill, there was Shamsundar, who was like the most beautiful monsoon rain cloud. On the top of the hill, there was lightning crashing, creating storms. And under the hill, the glances of the Braj gopis were like lightning, creating storms in the hearts of Krishna and the gopis. On the top of the hill, there was big, big rainbows being formed. And underneath Govardhan, Krishna's peacock feather resembled a beautiful rainbow. On top of the shelter of Govardhan, there were torrents and torrents and torrents of rain falling. And underneath, Krishna's beauty was like an incessant shower of happiness pouring upon everyone. In this way, there was a beautiful storm both on top and under the hill. But there was one difference. Over Govardhan Hill, there was no trace of the sun. But underneath, Krishna's Kaustubha Mani appeared just like the sun to light up all directions. Krishna then, with his left hand holding Giriraj, again played his beautiful flute with his right hand. By the mercy of Giriraj, there was not the least bit of disturbance. Everyone was submersed in happiness. As Krishna was playing upon his flute, all the different devotees, according to their particular relationship or rasa with Krishna, was having all of their desires fulfilled. Those who were in Santaras, like the Brahmins, they were simply completely absorbed in seeing the beauty of Krishna. Those who were in Dasyaras, like Raktak and Patrak, they were constantly engaging in various menial little services for Krishna as he stood there holding the hill. Those in Sakiras, like Subal, Marumangal, they were constantly telling jokes and laughing with Krishna. And those in Vatsalyaras were always worried about Krishna in their parental affection of love. The gopas were holding the hill with their sticks, and the gopis were always thinking of, is Krishna hungry? Is Krishna tired? And the gopis, those in Madhuryaras, their very innermost hearts' desires were being expressed simply by their glances upon Krishna. And within the core of their hearts, they were embracing him. In this way, every individual devotee was having all of their desires fulfilled. Actually, Indra did a great service. Because generally, all the residents of Vrindavan are only with Krishna for some of the town. The gopas herd the cows, but then they're in separation all night. And Yashoda and Nanda and the older gopis, they're with you, where they're with Krishna during the evening and the morning, but then during the whole day they're feeling separation. But on this occasion, all the devotees, all the cows, all the gopas and gopis, they were with Krishna 24 hours a day, every day, feeling his love. Yashoda Mai, she was very unhappy. She began to complain that, Krishna, I can understand you're very, very hungry. Stop playing your flute. The sound of your flute cannot fill your belly. I have prepared very, very delicious tambula with very nice spices and nourishment. Please let me give you this tambula. Just put down your flute for a moment. In fact, the Balaram will not eat. No one will eat until you eat. Notice how whenever Yashoda Mai wanted to convince Krishna of something, it was always in relationship to pleasing his devotees. Because Yashoda Mai understands the heart of Krishna, how his devotees are more dear to him than his own life. So she said, let Subal place this tambula in your mouth. So Krishna let his flute down. And Krishna was fed very nicely by his friend Subal. Meanwhile, Indra, he was up there just battling it out like anything. And the Sambartaka clouds, they were working so hard for 7 days and seven nights continuously. Due to hard labor, they were on the verge of death. They were so totally exhausted, they just couldn't do anything anymore. They ultimately retreated and fell at the feet of Indra and said, we give up, we can't do anything else. Now that only outraged Indra even more. And he attacked with all of his prowess on his elephant, Airavata. He was just attacking with rains, with winds, with thunderbolts, with thunder. It is described
that it seemed like that 7 days seemed like seven millenniums for Indra and the Samvartaka clouds. And it seemed like 7 minutes for the Brijabasis. As Giriraj was bathed, he was becoming more and more resplendent. Now please listen carefully. 7 days of the storms of universal destruction. But because Krishna was supporting and encouraging Giriraj with the little tip of his finger, in all 7 days, Indra did not have the power to cause one leaf to fall from the millions of trees on Govardhana. He did not have the power to even move one speck of dust from Govardhana. Ultimately, Indra admitted defeat. The clouds went away, Indra retreated, and the sun appeared in the sky. It became a very, very beautiful day. And Krishna told his devotees, now the sun has risen, the storm is gone, Indra's pride is destroyed. You may all return to your respective homes. The Brijabasis didn't want to leave. Do you know that they all stood under that Giriraj for 7 days and seven nights, and none of them ate anything? None of them drank a drop of water. None of them even thought of sleeping. They were simply so captivated by seeing the beauty of Girivaradhari that they forgot eating, sleeping. They were completely nourished just by the glance of Sri Krishna. But on Krishna's instruction, the gopas and gopis came out from under the hill to return to their respective homes. And Krishna told the cows to follow them. And the gopas started herding the cows away. And the cows just came to the very, very edge of the hill where they were just about outside, and they looked back, and Krishna was still holding it up because he was going to keep holding it until everyone was out. When they saw he was still standing there, all the cows, all 900,000 of them, they all ran back and gathered around Krishna. And Gopal, with his glance, he herded them out. Then Krishna, just like a child who lifts a mushroom, he held Govardhana Hill for 7 days and seven nights. He very effortlessly put it back exactly where it was previously. When Krishna came out from under Govardhana Hill, all the Brijabasis were there to show their affection and gratitude to him. Balaram was crying tears of love as he embraced Krishna. Yashoda Mai, she just, with great, great motherly enthusiasm, she massaged Krishna's left arm thoroughly and was smothering his hand with kisses to relieve him of the pain. Rohini Devi offered aarti to Krishna. The Brahmins gave their blessings. The older cowherd men, they just embraced Krishna and smelled his head with tears in their eyes, with loving parental affection. The gopis, they worshiped Krishna by glancing upon him with their doe-like eyes and embracing him within the core of their hearts and sharing smiling glances upon them, upon him. And the younger gopas, they jumped and danced and embraced and played with Krishna and laughed and joked in so many ways. The cowherd man then approached Nanda Maharaj. They wanted to try to understand, who is this wonderful Krishna?
that he's not an ordinary boy. When he was just a little infant, hardly a couple days old, the horrible Rakshasi witch, Putana, came to kill him. And he sucked out her life by drinking her milk. How is that possible? And when he was only about 3 months old, the horrible demon, Sakatasura, appeared in the form of a cart. And little Gopal effortlessly kicked that cart and killed the demon Sakatasura. At the time of Krishna's first birthday, Yashoda Mai pushed Krishna down because he was feeling so heavy. And then the great, powerful whirlwind demon, Trinabharta, came and brought Krishna way, 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 way high up into the outer space. Krishna choked him and assumed the weight of a huge mountain, and he fell down and crashed and died. And then little Krishna, how he knocked down those two Arjuna trees just by crawling between them, tied with the grinding mortar. And later on, the massive demon, Bakasura, who was in the form of a bird, he was as big as a mountain. He swallowed Krishna. But Krishna became so hot that he caused Bakasura to vomit him. And then he took Bakasura and opened his beak so wide that he bifurcated him. Then there was Batsasura. All-powerful Rakshasa demon appeared as a calf to kill Krishna. And Krishna picked him up, whirled him around, and threw him to the ground and killed him. And then there was Agasura, an 8-mile-long serpent who swallowed Krishna and all the cowherd boys. But Krishna expanded himself and suffocated Agasura. How is this possible? He's our own loving child. And what we saw over the last 7 days is Indra, the king of heaven. He lashed out with all of his wrath and all of his powers, and Krishna effortlessly held the gigantic Govardhan hill for 7 days and 7 nights, smiling the whole town. We don't know who is this Krishna. Nanda Maharaj, he replied that during the name-giving ceremony, Gargamuni came. This Gargarishi told me that your son, he appears in different colors in different yugas. In the Satya Yuga, he appeared in the white color, he has appeared in red color, he appears in a yellow color, and now he is appearing in this bluish color. He appears in every age to reestablish the principles of religion and protect his devotees. Your child appears in his original form only once in a day of Brahma. He will give all transcendental pleasure of love to the Brijavasis and protect you from all dangers. When Nanda Maharaj explained these words of Gargamuni, everyone's hearts were somewhat satisfied. One day, soon after the Govardhan Leela, Krishna went out alone to inspect if any damage was done by Indra. Meanwhile, Indra was utterly ashamed and guilty at what he had done. So he approached Brihaspati, his guru, and said, "I made a big mistake. Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I was thinking he's just an ordinary boy. I tried to destroy him, all of his devotees, and the entire Vrindavan. That's a terrible offense. I don't know what to do." Brihaspati said, "You cannot approach Krishna directly after what you have done.
If one has sinned and offended, one must approach Krishna through those who Krishna loves. Krishna loves his cows. Go to Surabhi Devi, the mother of the Surabhi cows. If she appeals on your behalf, then only will Krishna forgive you. So here is Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, with all of his royalty. He's approaching a cow with folded hands, bowing down and begging for mercy. Please appeal to Krishna on my behalf. Ask Krishna to forgive me and accept me as his devotee. Surabhi, her motherly affection, reciprocated with Indra. Indra came down to Vrindavan along with Surabhi. Indra kept a little distance away, and Surabhi approached Krishna and offered beautiful prayers of love. Then she told that Indra, he is your devotee, but he has done very serious mistakes. But he seriously regrets his mistakes and is begging for your forgiveness. Please forgive him. This is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Unless the great souls appeal on our behalf for the Lord to forgive us and accept him, there is no means of approaching Krishna directly. At a place called Surabhi Kund, which is a very holy part of the Govardhan Parikrama, Surabhi appealed to Krishna, and Krishna forgave Indra and accepted him. Then Indra approached Krishna. Indra has 1,000 eyes all over his body. They were all weeping incessantly. And with his hands, he was trying to rub the tears from all of his eyes. With his beautiful, golden, bejeweled crown, he performed his dandavats and placed his head at the feet of little Gopal and begged his forgiveness. Indra offered beautiful, beautiful prayers. Indra admitted that due to my false pride, because I have so much power, wealth, knowledge, influence, and fame, I have become arrogant. I have become victimized and defeated by false pride. Therefore, in this false pride, I became so bewildered. I offended your devotees, and I even offended you. Please forgive me. I understand that it is your causeless mercy that you have completely destroyed all trace of my false pride. This is your kindness. This is your love. Accept me as your surrendered servant. Krishna told Indra that I cannot bear to see my devotee suffering from the disease of false pride. Through one means or another, if I want to show my love and mercy to my devotee, I will destroy that false pride. Because more than anything else, false pride destroys the spirit of love and devotion. It is false pride that separates us from Krishna since time immemorial. When Krishna sees a devotee becoming proud, his great mercy, the expression of his greatest love, is by whatever means required, he will crush that pride and liberate the devotee from the disease.
He explained this to Indra, and Indra was very grateful. Then Indra asked if, he said, people call me the king of heaven, but I want to perform an abhishek to coronate you as the supreme king of all kings. So Krishna accepted. And all the demigods came down to a place which is today called Govinda Kund to perform the abhishekam, coronation ceremony of Krishna. Govardhan Hill took the role of the throne with his beautiful jewels. Krishna sat on the throne of Giriraj. And then Varuna appeared, holding the umbrella over Krishna's head. Vayu appeared to fan Krishna with the chamara whisk. Chandra appeared with a beautiful jeweled mirror for Krishna to reflect Krishna's beauty. Panchajanya appeared to blow the conch shell and make auspicious sounds. Bhumi appeared with a beautiful decorated box with her most valuable herbs. Garuda expanded his wings to be the canopy over Krishna. And Anantashesha and the various snakes who were the associates of Anantashesha, they all became the flags decorating all parts of the arena. The demigods chanted the Purusha Shukta. Indra's elephant, Airavata, brought water from the Akashganga. There is a place called Airavata Kund near Govardhan where he stored vast quantities of this Akashganga water. And he personally bathed Krishna with that water. As they chanted the Purusha Shukta prayers, first they had the chaste ladies, the wives of the demigods and the chaste wives of the great rishis. And they were the first ones who were given the honor to perform the abhishek of Govinda. And then so many others performed the abhishek of the Lord, bathing him in auspicious substances. Brahma offered Padya, Argya, Madhupark, Achman. Ultimately, he offered Rajbhog and offered the royal arti ceremony to Sri Krishna. And it was there that Krishna was officially given the title Govinda. The demigods then departed for their abodes with the permission of Lord Sri Krishna. And they left all their paraphernalia behind. After they left, the cowherd boys, they were searching for Krishna everywhere to play with him. And they saw Krishna sitting on this throne of Govardhan. And they saw these big, beautiful, golden arti paraphernalia with jewels. So the cowherd boys were laughing and singing, and they were offering arti to Krishna. And they picked up the chamara fans and were offering the chamaras to Krishna. And they were just doing it so playfully. The demigods did it with tremendous amount of awe and reverence. But the gopas were just laughing and joking and singing and dancing, and Krishna was laughing with them, and they were offering all these articles somewhere in a playful way. The demigods were watching the gopas performing their puja. They became utterly ashamed. They realized they had no love, they had no devotion, they had nothing whatsoever compared to these little gopas. The intimacy, the spontaneity, the depth of the love of these gopas was hundreds and trillions of times deeper and more pleasing to Krishna than the worship of the demigods. So they put their heads down in shame and returned to their abodes. Meanwhile, all this noise was going on, and Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys came with Yashoda and the gopis, and they saw these little boys performing this puja to Lord Krishna. They were, where did this come from? They had never seen such chamaras, such ghee lamps, such paraphernalia. And Madhu Mangal explained, said, Nanda Maharaj, we can tell you, but you'll never believe what we saw. I said, no, you tell us. He said, no, you'll never believe it. I said, you tell. No, you'll never believe it. Now, the more someone says like this, the more eager you are to hear. So Madhu Mangal began to explain, what we saw, our Gopal was sitting on this throne on Govardhan, and then we saw this person with 1,000 eyes all over his bodies, with tears flowing from all his eyes. He was offering prayers to Gopal. Then we saw a man with 4 heads, and he was offering arti to Gopal. Then we saw a person with 5 heads, and he had no clothes on, and he had snakes all over his body, and he was singing and dancing for Gopal. Then we saw this person with the head of an elephant dancing and singing for Gopal. Then we saw a serpent with hundreds of hoods, and all of his mouths were singing for Gopal. And ultimately, we saw a cow talking to Gopal. So Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, they were very happy. They were very, very happy. And then all the residents of Vrindavan, they all worshipped Krishna and Balaram on the throne of Govardhan. This beautiful story is very instructive. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Indra represents, in this particular narration, one who wants to enjoy the position of God, one who considers himself superior to others. Really, for a living entity to consider themselves superior to anyone else is a symptom of a disease of wanting to enjoy the position of God. That is why we see those who have actual pure hearts, they never put themselves above anyone. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he prayed that I am the most fallen. I'm lower than a worm in stool. He doesn't even think himself better than a worm crawling in the stool. This is his heart. I'm lower than a worm in stool. I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. If anyone hears my name, they lose their piety. If anyone speaks my name, they become sinful. How can a person think like this? It is the nature of the soul. The more you understand the greatness of Krishna, the more you realize your own insignificance, and all your pleasure, all your ecstasy is in simply glorifying Krishna's greatness. But to the degree we think that we're great, we cannot express our love for Krishna. We cannot understand his greatness. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were the greatest scholars from the highest birth of Saraswat Brahmins. They were multi-billionaires with huge estates, royal garments, luxurious food. They were young. They had beautiful, handsome bodies. And in that time of their life, when they met Lord Chaitanya, they prayed, revealing the honest feelings of their heart, that we are the lowest, most fallen of all living beings.
In fact, you are Patita Pavan Avatar. You have come to deliver the most fallen. So if you want to immediately fulfill the whole purpose of your mission, then deliver us.
Narottam Das Thakur also prayed in his beautiful song, praying to Lord Chaitanya, "You are Patita Pavan. You have come to deliver the most fallen, but you will find no one in the entire universal creation lower and more fallen than me."
This is the way great souls think. This is why they can always be immersed in the highest ecstasies of love. Because they have no ego blocking the natural flow of devotion between themselves and Krishna. Their entire happiness in life is glorifying Krishna's greatness. And they naturally consider themselves insignificant. So when we think that we're superior to someone else, we should understand that's our problem. It's not the problem of the person we think we're better than. It's our problem.
Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das 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 Anudas.
That we should feel ourselves the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Servant does not think themselves better than the master. Servant wants to please the master. Indra means Lord. Indra was thinking he was Lord. And Prabhupada explains that all of us, whoever we may be, we all think that we're the Lord of something. Even the beggar in the street thinks, "I'm the Lord of the penny that I have." And the multi-billionaire is thinking, "I am the Lord of all of my empire." But everyone has this, what the Gurukulis call Ishwara Bhav, this feeling that I am the controller, I am the Lord. So the story of Indra Puja and Govardhan Puja is a great lesson. How we must sincerely take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a spirit of humble service to overcome this demoniac tendency within our hearts. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this story shows how Krishna does not tolerate his devotees diverting their attention from his exclusive worship. Demigod worship, to worship many gods, or to think that worship of Krishna is insufficient, is not pleasing to Krishna. For his sincere devotees, he does not tolerate such diversions. Devarshi Bhutapti Dinam Pitradam. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, when you worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, all the devatas, all the forefathers, all the rishis, all obligations one has are completely fulfilled. In the same way as if you put water on the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. The branches, the leaves, the flowers, the twigs. Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti matva. Krishna tells in Gita that I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. If you offer your love to me, all desires are fulfilled. There's no other obligations required. We should not divert our attention. However, in order to pour water on the root of the tree, it's very difficult to approach the root directly. You have to pour water on the soil that is surrounding the root.
by serving those who are near and dear to Krishna, by serving Guru and the Vaishnavas. That is the only actual means by which we can, our service is accepted by Krishna. It is the only way of accessing Krishna's mercy. This glorious day of Indra Puja, Govardhan Puja, I'm sorry, is one of the greatest festival days of the Vaishnav calendar. In Vrindavan, all the 5,000 temples have Anukuta, mountains and mountains of bhoga. Hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people come to Vrindavan on this day to see the wonderful darshans in the temple. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of temples all over the world, everyone is discussing this wonderful pastime, preparing elaborate offerings to the Lord and worshipping Sri Gididhari. Lord Chaitanya prayed that let us take shelter of Sri Govardhandari Krishna, who with the little finger of his left hand has protected his devotees from all the anxieties, all the miseries, all the sufferings of this world. And by his merciful glance has filled his devotees with love. Let this be our prayer today as we chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
This afternoon there will be a wonderful marriage ceremony of two very dear devotees. There will be the Sankirtan performance of Sriman Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu. And so many other wonderful festivities. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.